Hi there, Randy Carlson at the Intentional Living Center. We're talking overtime parenting today. The first half is over. The second half is over. And you thought by now your children would be on their own or your child on their own. And it's now overtime, and you're still very much in the parenting business, one level or another. Let's help you get intentional about that today. Stay tuned.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Randy's a conference speaker and coach, husband and father, and your advocate for the family. Hey, if you find yourself in the overtime parenting mode, Dr. Randy wants to talk to you. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your family, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. We're talking from the Intentional Living Center today to parents with adult sons or daughters. And, you know, they may be just young getting started, or maybe you're looking back and, you know, you're already in your 60s or whatever, and it's a 30 and maybe 40-year-old. And you're still finding yourself being drawn in to the drama of it all. And maybe as a parent, you're wondering, what's your role? How do you approach this thing of overtime parenting? Give us a call. How do you face this? What struggles do you face with your adult son or daughter? 888-888-1717. Lori says the struggles watching them not giving up on school and work and home life. They just give up. They got this someone else will do it attitude. Amy posts on Facebook, bad choices. I'm concerned about the bad choices because I know it will affect them. Hannah, watching them give up on their goals and dreams. Kelly says, as a mom, having them turn into a child all over again instead of an adult when they walk into my front door. You know, they can walk in the front door and they're their kid again. She goes on to say, I can't gripe too much, though, because I did the same thing until just a few years ago. Mallory says not wanting to get up and either go to school or work, their priorities, and they're irresponsible. What about you as a parent or even a grandparent? What is it you're concerned about? 888-888-1717. Intentional Living Center is open. By the way, in our resource store, we have a study kit for parents. In fact, we have two. We have a book-based study called Raising Responsible Adults, book and study for young parents. And then we have the Parenting Challenge video series, which is designed for personal and group study, both available for parents at theintentionallife.com. Okay, we'll get to your calls in a moment. What do you face with your adult son or daughter?
He was supposed to go into the Coast Guard, and due to some foolish choices, he ended up being disqualified and was not able to go. So now he's kind of drifting and not working, and is still continuing in the poor choice behavior that got him in the pickle to begin with.
Well, I have a daughter that is married to a guy that always seems to be in trouble, and she and her six children moved in with us New Year's weekend.
Well, it's my 22-year-old daughter. She's had a husband now. She's had a boyfriend, and she has two little kids, and she's not living the way she's supposed to be doing. Really upsetting to our family because they're living with us, me and my husband and my granddaughter that I adopted.
Yeah, that's reality, isn't it? You know, we simply, if you haven't faced some of these challenges you hear, your thought is, well, just open the door and push them out. But these are your kids. These are your grandkids. These are your family. These are people you love. And it's understandable. You don't know at times what to do. How do you handle this when maybe as a fault of their own or no fault of their own, things happen and we're to support and love one another. I do know this. I think it's really important for parents, as your children grow into young adulthood and adulthood, to understand that the roles are changing. And you can no longer just be the, quote, parent, have to jump in and solve all the problems. And so learning to step back and allowing them to fail, standing with them but setting boundaries in place, can be a new experience for you with a 27-year-old than with a 17-year-old. But at times it has to happen. And, of course, you know your child, but sometimes you know each other so well that they know how to take advantage of you. So finding some outside perspective on this can be helpful. Hopefully today we can do that a little bit. Okay, Roseanne, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi there. What's your question on this topic?
I have a sister that lives with my parents. She's 28 with both of her kids.
Okay.
She does not work. She does not go to school. I think the last time she held a job was when she was about 20, 21. And I'm just trying to find a way to where I want to help her, but at the same time, I want to be able to tell my parents that I think they're disabling her. I don't know.
Well, when you say you want to help her, is at the core of this, it bugs you that your sister's taking advantage of mom and dad?
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
That's the nerve, isn't it?
Yes. It does. Because when we were younger, it was not like that. You know, my dad was very strict, very, you guys are either going to go to school or you're going to work or blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if it's because they had her later in life and she's the youngest, that she's gotten away with so many things.
Does it bother you that your parents are doing this? Does it bother you?
Yes, it bothers me because I feel that they're disabling her. And I think of my niece and nephew, what's going to happen to when my parents get to that age where they can't do that anymore.
All right. Well, Roseanne, listen, I hear your heart. I think you really got to stay close to this real sense of injustice that you might be feeling and being upset that your sister's taking advantage of mom and dad. And frankly, that mom and dad are doing something that's inconsistent with how you were raised as a child. So you got a lot of this family just feeling stuff going on. But let me just talk to you as an uncle here, if I can. It's really between your mom and dad and their daughter. It really doesn't involve you. It really doesn't. And your concern is legitimate, but that's a decision they've made with your sister. And I think you're gonna have to let it go. I think at most you could do is go to your parents and say, can I have permission to share something with you that I'm observing for what it's worth, and then I'm going to back off and shut up on this, frankly.
Okay.
And then share with them. Just say, you know, I think that I'm concerned for my sister and for you guys that this process is enabling her to continue to be irresponsible. And what would happen if something happened to both of you 3 months from now? Was she going to be capable of getting on with her life? But I think beyond that, Roseanne, I think you love your sister. You speak into her life, encourage her. But just be really careful not to get caught into this thing of going back and being children all over and this isn't fair and why is mom and dad doing that?
Right.
Because I'll tell you, that'll be disruptive to your whole relationship. You can't change it. It's a decision they've made. You got to let them do it.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. This is family, and when we come on, we all have siblings. We all have family. You ever look at your siblings, your family, and you say, how come they do this and how come that? And there's all sorts of, we become kids all over again, all of our jealousies and feelings and expectations and all of that kind of stuff. But when mom and dad have a relationship with one child, that's one relationship. And the rest of us, we can pray for them and make a kind observation. But beyond that, all we can do is create problems.
Hi, Randy. I've got kind of a unique situation, I feel like. I know that I have to forgive my daughter, but I also have to hold her accountable for the lifestyle that she's choosing right now, because it is not only affecting her, it's affecting my 5-year-old grandson. I don't know how to handle all of it. I know I give her over to God, but she just seems to be going the other direction worse. She's decided she's gay. She's decided to work in a bar and do horrible things there. The people she's running around with are not good influences on my grandson.
Oh, boy. We can pray for you, and I know many will be. I think, you know, whenever we make a decision to have children, God blesses us with children, either through adoption or through birth, we give away a part of our heart. That happens. And sometimes our hearts are filled with much pride and positive feelings, and at times they're fearful and concerned. Sometimes they get broken. That's a part of the process of the human experience. So I say to us as parents, when we look at adult sons and daughters, we speak truth into their life. We love them. There are times we have to hold them accountable. We do what we can. But boy, this is really a giving up thing, isn't it? Giving them up to God, leaving them in God's hands. That's a hard thing to do. It really is. We'll be praying for you. Tammy, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
Well, I have a 22-year-old son, mm-hmm. and he is living at home, and it feels like he's destroying everything. My husband and I have been married 26 years, and very close we are, and he's very ill, my husband, mm-hmm. and in fact, he's almost bedridden, and my son comes home from work, and he works a job during the day and then one in the evening, and the one in the evening's at home. And he's constantly arguing with Dad and me both and teases a lot. Mm. And we don't know what to do. It's just constant.
All right. So he was out for a while and then came back?
No.
He never left.
Been out.
Okay.
No,
what's his plans?
He said in another year, but he keeps telling us that every uh-huh. year.
Well, and he's working two jobs.
Yeah, because he's trying to get his debt down.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. He's a very good worker. I have to admit that.
Yeah, have you ever talked to him about the problem?
Oh, gosh, yeah, over and over and over. So has my husband.
And you talk with no outcome of expectations with following up with some consequences?
Yes, we have. Different things we've tried, though. It hasn't really worked. It hasn't sunk in. We've threatened to take the keys from his car. And then I mean, you can't do that because he's got to work.
Who's paying for his car?
He is. He bought a new car in 2011, and he's almost got it paid off. But he's got the credit cards he's paying on, too. But he does like to travel. He's been everywhere. And that's where his bills have been created in school, too.
Well, Tammy, he's 22 years old.
I know.
And he sounds like he's responsible at work, if I hear you right. He's a hard worker. It's a reasonable expectation that if he's going to live in your home, he's going to respect whatever, standards you have in your home. I would think uh-huh. if he's working, he'd be helping provide for paying some of the bills and that kind of thing. Is he part of that process with
you
guys?
Yes, he pays a little under $200 a month.
So he may feel a little entitled as well, like, hey, I'm paying to be here.
Yes, and I hear that all the time.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
Well,
I just don't know what to do about getting out. I don't know what to do other than just say, we've threatened to put his stuff out in the yard. His siblings, both his sisters do not like it at all. They constantly are like, Mom, why are you doing this?
Well,
why are you doing this?
Are you and your husband on the same page that this is a problem?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
Well, Tammy, listen, God love us as a family, but if we don't set up some expectations and some ground rules in terms of deadlines and dates and expectations, and frankly, a contract, if he's going to be in the home, this is how it's going to work, and you violate it, you're not in the home. It's just like an agreement. But I think this is, your call is an example, Tammy, I think of what can happen in a lot of our homes. We have this relationship that's built around 20 years or 25 years of living together and patterns of behavior and expectations, and we take each other for granted and we set up expectations of how Mom and Dad are supposed to be. And I've learned this in life. The only person that can change any sort of a dysfunctional situation is a person that has the power to make the change. Because the weakest person in a relationship always controls that relationship. And so maybe there's a point here where you and your husband need to exercise the parental leadership and leadership of your home with your son to say, we love you. We're separating our love for you from the reality of we've got to have this home back. This has got to be our home, and this is the way we want this home to operate. And so we'll give you 2 months, whatever the date is, between now and then to make the plans of what your plans are. But between now and then, this is how we expect to communicate. Don't you think that your son would respect the two of you sitting down with him and drawing a line in the sand?
Well, we have tried it over and over. And also, we have also told him, if you're not out, we're going to go ahead and get a, to get him out, call the police, and he gets scared or whatever, and then he backs off and starts, you know, treating us decent. And then we just told him, you know, if you just treat us right, we'd be happy, you know, because we want you to see you get your bills paid and get out. We really do. And he wants to. He says he does. He has a place in mind.
Well, then if he has a place in mind and he wants to, then where's the point of getting some closure to say, let's make this happen? It seems to me, Tammy, that you guys have some issues going on where you need to get some outside counsel beyond this and sit down and put a plan together with your son. Maybe the three of you sit down with a counselor and talk about the issues and come up with a plan that's going to work for you guys. But at the end of the day, this is your home, and you're paying the bills, and you know how you want your home to operate and how you want it to run. And that's the way it should run. You guys are responsible. I know it doesn't help with your husband with his physical challenges. That probably makes it more difficult. But at the end of the day, this is one of those issues. If you don't get it resolved in a loving, positive way, it's just going to wear and wear and wear until your relationship explodes. And frankly, that's not something I think the two of you want.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Hey, stay tuned. Dr. Randy's got more for you overtime parents, helping you to be intentional for your family. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
This has made a huge difference in our marriage.
To finally be on a budget.
Wow.
My kids actually obey me now. Most of the time, anyway.
Whether for your small group or your personal journey, an Intentional Living Study Kit on CD or DVD can help you discover the peace, purpose, and health you're looking for. Each is developed by best-selling author and speaker Dr. Randy Carlson. To get you started, visit theintentionallife.com. Go to resources and click on the store link.
You can assemble anything and not have any leftover or missing parts. All the storage closets in your house are stacked, packed, labeled, and sorted in alphabetical order. But you have no clue how to help your kids become trustworthy and dependable adults. So you need Raising Responsible Adults by Dr. Randy Carlson. Our number one selling book and study guide will help you avoid mistakes and equip you with proven tools of parenting. Order Raising Responsible Adults today at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, I've been thinking, yeah, I know, big surprise there. One of the best ways to figure out what your one thing should be is by hearing what others are doing. Like Nancy, who's going to be the wife and mother God wants her to be. Chris is going to stop smoking and drinking. And O is going to meet with a financial advisor to learn how to better provide for his family and then do it. So what's your one thing? Go to theintentionallife.com. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. And by the way, when you tell us your one thing, we'll pray for you. Randy?
All right. Thank you, Kurt. I just have to camp for a minute on Tammy's call. I've been lingering on talking to her, thinking about that during the break. And this poor husband and wife who are feeling trapped in their own home, in a sense, and wanting to have a relationship with their son that's healthy and move through a natural progression to the next stage and feeling trapped. And it made me think that I think many young people are growing up today with an entitlement mentality that, you know, this is, quote, my house and my bedroom and my stuff. And this entitlement mentality that we can fall into is a dangerous, dangerous way of thinking in life. So I encourage parents, as you start getting into the teen years with your kids, I think it's perfectly acceptable. In fact, I think it's something essential to start setting up expectations, making it clear to your children what they should be expecting from you for the future. You know, son or daughter, we love you, and this is what we're willing to do to help you with college and what we can't do. So you better be thinking about that. That's coming down the pike. You know, if you instead would rather work, here's what the expectation is. You can live here for this period of time. Help with the rent if you want to get a job for a period, but this is what the expectation is. Without the clarity of expectation, we create our own rules. And many young people are creating their own rules because the expectations are not clear, they're not consistent, and they're not followed through with. And frankly, with an adult son or daughter, that dishonors them. One of the ways that we respect an adult is hold them accountable and ourselves lovingly and consistently. That includes adult sons and daughters. Okay, Ron, welcome to the program.
Hello, good, how are you doing
good.
Today?
Good, I appreciate your call. What's your question today?
Well, I got a stepdaughter that's 25, and we've done paid for school twice, and she dropped out twice, and the money went away, and she went off and had a grandson, and we love him dearly, and he's a lot of fun, but that marriage has fallen to the wayside, and she's come back into the house, and now it seems like we have to live by her rules in our house, and that just really doesn't sit well.
So she got back into the house because of the grandkids. You felt like you needed to do that?
Well, we let her back in because she had nowhere else to go. She was living with her husband in an apartment that was paid for pretty much by the other grandparents. And when that marriage broke up, you know, she had no place to go. So we brought her back here so she could get herself together. And, you know, we put some rules in place. You know, we told her she's going to have to pay rent and she's going to have to get her job together and all that. But it seems as though she wants to spend way too much time on her social life, and that ranks way too high, even above being a parent, because it seems as though with both of the kids, the parenting is too big a job for them, or they just too big a bother.
And so it gets dropped in
you
your
know,
lap.
It's like they're passing their grandchild from grandparent to grandparent, and they're going off and doing their own thing. And we put the rule in place where, no, you will not come into this house if you've been out drinking, and no, there will be no drinking in this house. And I've had conversations with her about her drinking, and she's even agreed with me that, yeah, she's got a problem. Once she gets started, she can't stop. It may not happen every day, but it happens. And when she comes in the house, she gets kind of confrontational with my wife and I, and, you know, to where it's almost to the point where, you know, look, we'll have you taken out of this house. We can call the cops and tell them to come get you. You know, and then she usually ends up storming off, and then she's gone for a couple, 3 days, and then tries to come back in like everything's great again. But then 3 or 4 days down the line, here she is again. And, you know, we're kind of at a loss. My wife's going to these Al-Anon meetings, and I've been through treatment a couple of times, and so I can recognize these problems. And I keep telling her, if your drinking causes you problem legally, financially, with your health, or with your relationship with your family or your husband or whatever, if it affects you in any one of them situations, it's a problem. And, girl, you got three of them. You know, you haven't got health because you haven't rotted your liver yet. You haven't had a big car accident yet. You're smart enough not to drive, though. Thank goodness for that.
Well, I think, Ron, you're
you know,
there are thousands probably listening who can relate to what you're talking about. Because whenever a child or grandchild gets put into the mix, it trumps everything. Because obviously the number one concern is for the child. And I've been very clear over time with parents, grandparents, and others, you know, we've got to make that a priority and do whatever it is to make sure that child is provided for and safe. And whatever that means, that's the number one priority, period, bottom line. With our own kids, sometimes they're going to have to hit the bottom until they decide to get help, until they decide to take care of themselves. And there is such a thing as enabling. In other words, providing enough cover for a person that allows them to maintain kind of this ongoing slow leak, like a tire on the car that continues to just leak and leak and leak, and you keep putting a little bit of air in it to keep it going, and not get to a place where we say, this is coming to an end. This just can't go on forever. You've got responsibility. You've got a drinking problem. You've got a new responsibility problem. And we're not going to continue to cover for you, but we're going to make sure that this child, they got to make sure that this child is taken care of and protected. That's an essential in life. But sometimes our kids, hey, we got thousands listening right now who are grandparents who had to step in and make some tough decisions to protect their kids and their grandkids rather. And the kids had to learn to grow up and face the realities of their decisions. And that's a tough thing. And I'm not trying to make it simple, Ron, because you know your own challenges. But I do know this. You and your wife need to get together with somebody who can sit down and help you build a game plan for success and dealing with this. Otherwise, this slow leak will just continue and continue and continue.
Why am I doing this? Because without the why, the what is another question that's difficult to answer. But you have to answer it. What do we do? What's our mission? And here's what happens. The why question is a heart issue, where the what question is really a head issue. There's a difference. And some of us live in our hearts, and we're really good at answering why I'm doing it, but we're not real good at answering what we do. We do too many different things. And as I thought about this, I said, having a why without a what is only a good idea. But having a what without a why is tiring.
Yeah, boy, that is very true. And then I talk about how, which is the hand part of this whole thing, actually getting it done. As you know, we talk about head, heart, and hand a lot around here at the Intentional Living Center. And that kind of teaching, that's an excerpt from this month's teaching for members. We have this kind of teaching every month, very motivational, very instructive, very practical on living intentional life. And I love coming along now, nearly, what, 3,500 individuals and families around the country every month with a CD just from our office right out to you to say thank you for your ongoing support for the ministry. If you're not a regular member right now, come and join us. Just become a part of the membership. I'd love to have you be on board. Whatever God leads you to share every month is all that we ask. We want everybody involved. I would challenge you to pray about $1 a day or $30 a month for the ministry. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And you can sign up. Be a part of the ongoing support of this Intentional Living Ministry for here and around the globe every day. Just a couple more things before we wrap up the program. We're speaking parenting today. A reminder that we have a very special tour this fall. That's the Parents Night Out Tour. It's going to be an evening focusing on parenting, secrets of intentional parenting. I'm going to be teaching how to raise your kids without raising your voice, how to raise a responsible adult, the five things that your kids need to know before they leave home, and just going to have a lot of fun. We're going to learn together. We'll take everything we've learned over years of working with families and share with you in this evening for parents. Friday, October 2nd in Albuquerque, Michigan, October 9, 10, 11 in Midland, Jackson, and Flint, and then in Arizona, October 23 and 24 in Phoenix and Mesa, and then wrapping up in Tucson on November 6. Get your tickets today at theintentionallife.com. Monday, it's Intentional Living 101. We'll see you then.